Practicing reconciliation is my personal spiritual discipline. Until I embraced reconciliation as a spiritual practice, I didn't realize just how transformative reconciliation can be. Practicing reconciliation means I commit to being in right relationship with people in my life, caring enough to face unresolved issues and improve the relationship. I have learned to practice reconciliation in my personal relationships. It gave me the clarity to address issues with my sister. But I have also been learning to practice reconciliation across divides in our broken culture, especially racial divides. I have learned that reconciliation is a competency we can bring to four levels of conflict in our own souls, between individuals, within groups like my congregation, and between groups such as people of color like me and the dominant white culture. Reconciliation helps us to get into right relationship. The unfinished business of race affects Unitarian Universalists as it does all Americans. But in addition, Unitarian Universalists have some special needs for reconciliation. Among us are some people who hold concerns from a dispute more than three decades ago over how best to support efforts to fight racism. Some who have worked hard to keep anti-racism on the UUA agenda and now feel marginalized. Some, including ministers, who have found reasons to oppose anti-racism, some people of color, and some pioneering ministers who feel that Unitarian Universalism is not yet ready to receive their gifts and have endured at a spiritual cost. And some who are not yet engaged in anti-racism, but whose energy is crucial if Unitarian Universalism is to move closer to being an ideal community. The work of building a just community means individually and collectively working to be in right relationship with people from historically marginalized groups and holding ourselves accountable for changing the things that create injustice. A discipline of reconciliation helps us as we work to undo racism and oppression by empowering us to get on the path over and over again, respecting and appreciating that we have traveled different paths and we come to this point from different experiences.
A black and white photograph. Ancient history, practically. This one was taken September 4th, 1957. An historic moment frozen in time, as Elizabeth Eckford, right there in front, and eight other African-American students, who would be known as the Little Rock Nine, tried to enter the segregated Little Rock High School, surrounded by an angry mob of 400 people shouting, 2, 4, 6, 8, we ain't gonna integrate. The National Guard, under orders from the Arkansas governor, stepped in Elizabeth's way to prevent her from entering. And it would take two more weeks before she, along with those other eight students, were finally let into the high school, thus becoming the first African-American students to attend a segregated Southern school. But it's this photo that interests us most today. Taken that morning, this photo, when Elizabeth was first denied entrance to the school. This photo and the young white woman in it, a woman named Hazel Bryan, her face full of hate as she screamed epithets at the dignified Elizabeth Eckford. This photo is our focus, for from it we can learn so much about the possibilities of reconciliation. So let's start just by thinking about that term a little bit more. As we heard in our Time for All Ages this morning, reconciliation is about far more than just apologies. Apologies may relieve the burden on the person who caused the injury more than it does the injured party. And even with forgiveness, trust may remain elusive. Reconciliation takes place when we invite a change that will bring us back into right relationship, as Reverend Summer spoke about in the Paula Cole Jones reading this morning. It's about making amends. It's about making right what we did wrong. It requires intentionality and commitment. Reconciliation doesn't just happen. This concept of reconciliation got me thinking about social media, of all things. And there's a lot to be said against social media and some of the ways we communicate on there. But one of the things that I've been grateful for is the ease with which I've been able to find people I was once close to in my life. In a matter of a quick search, there's their face and their life kind of popped up in front of me. And being reconnected in this way has allowed me to practice reconciliation with some of these people. The friendship that ended over what I thought was a scheduling misunderstanding, but what I later realized had more to do with feelings of neglect on the other person's part. The friendship that ended over an argument about a phone bill, of all things, but what I later realized had more to do with fears of the shifting sands of time. The friendship that ended over nothing, but really upon reflection had to do with everything in that person's life and my life. Job loss, ill parents, deep loneliness. With time, in each of those cases, I came to see where I had gone wrong and where they had gone wrong, and it became clear what actions were needed to come back into right relationship with one another. Though we parted ways, sometimes with harsh words and painful feelings, time and reflection had made clear what the heat of anger had not. And I have been grateful for those opportunities to acknowledge the hurt I might have caused and offer what I could to make right what once had been so wrong. And while these efforts toward reconciliation didn't turn back the hands of time, they did what they were supposed to do. They transformed a relationship marked by irresolution and discord into one of peace. I think of this now as we begin to talk about something out of our own Unitarian Universalist history, something that has been known as the Black Empowerment Controversy, though there are many other names given to it now. But it's an incident from 1967, 10 years after Elizabeth Eckford and the Little Rock Nine had made their way through that sea of hate to those high school doors, 10 years further into the civil rights movement, 10 years of tension and struggle. And there was Unitarian Universalism, a progressive movement working in some ways at the forefront of the civil rights movement, but in other ways still struggling. Like most UU's, African American members at the time had left the religion of their upbringing because they were seekers who cherished religious freedom and the ideals exhibited by this faith community, but they were still struggling to find their place within it. And so in 1967, a conference was held, and as Mark Morrison Reed explains it, this black caucus met through the evening and late into the night. And as they talked, they tapped into the raw emotion hidden behind middle-class reasonableness. They searched for an identity more authentic than the futile attempt to be carbon copies of white people. Liberal religion had failed to address the experiences of blackness or to settle an African American in a major pulpit. And by the time they emerged after that night, the Black Unitarian Universalist Caucus, the BUUC, steering committee had been formed. They insisted that their agenda be voted up or down without debate, and that included a resolution that $1 million be directed toward the black community over a period of 4 years. That's Mark Morrison Reed's telling. So a young man named Hayward Henry was chosen as chair of the BUUC. Hayward Henry immediately saw tensions developing. As soon as the 1968 Cleveland General Assembly voted on a plan to disperse this money, our umbrella organization, the Unitarian Universalist Association, began backtracking on the commitment. As Hayward Henry said, power was at the center of the problem, as it always is in relationships of marginality. Power was all right for white folks to have, but it was an alien concept for black folks to have. The controversy continued over the next few years. Only a portion of the money was dispersed, and as many as, can you guess how many black Unitarian Universalists left our denomination at that point? Anybody have any idea? 1,500 people left. Profoundly disappointed in the UUA's inability to fulfill its promises. As Mark Morrison Reed said, it happened because of institutional immaturity, fear, and hubris. And this moment in time, a moment that could have signified great change, hope, and possibility, became one for the history books, a permanently closed chapter of regret, confusion, and lost relationships. Here's the thing about reconciliation. This is why I bring this to you this morning. Because it's often not as impossible as it seems. Take that photo of Elizabeth Eckford and Hazel Bryan. Now, Hazel Bryan, seen in that picture shouting epitaphs with such gusto, is a perfect example of the kind of conscious racism talked about in our special song this morning, You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. Hazel's father wouldn't let black clerks wait on him, and Hazel learned his bigotry well. And so who would have guessed that 6 years later, after that photograph was taken, in the quiet of the trailer in which she lived, with no cameras watching, Hazel Bryan would pick up the phone, look up Elizabeth Eckford's number in the phone book, and make a call. Her voice trembled as she spoke, tears gushing as she told Elizabeth that she was indeed that girl in the photo and that she was profoundly sorry. Elizabeth was gracious in her response, and the two women talked. But astoundingly, this moment in 1963 would not be the last for these two. Reconciliation is complicated, and God knows it takes time. And time passed for we Unitarian Universalists as we wrestled with what it meant to be a progressive liberal faith movement who really practiced what it preached. And Hayward Henry, along with all those other black identified UUs, drifted to other places. But as we all know, with the blow-ups in our own lives, with time and distance can come perspective. That first step of reconciliation that Paula Cole Jones talks about, having the courage and humility to acknowledge when we are not in right relationship, and then being willing to take steps to heal that relationship. And for almost half a century since the black empowerment controversy, we UUs have been working our way through these steps. I'm not surprised it's taken so long. We all know that getting over hurt of any kind can take a long time. Seeing where we've done wrong in our own lives can be hard. We know all the reasons and justifications for what we've done. And when I reached out to those former friends through Facebook, it was because I could finally admit where I had gone wrong in my own actions. It takes a while to see. It wasn't just about what they had done to me or how I'd been some victim of circumstance. It was about taking responsibility. So why do the work of reconciliation? Because reconciliation helps us to stop being preoccupied with the past, something that can get in the way of our everyday living. Reconciliation helps us to stop being reactive from a negative point of view and start being proactive from a positive one. Reconciliation, it gives us the opportunity to learn from another person's perspective so that we can both benefit from co-created solutions. And when we reconcile, there's often a ripple effect that goes out into the rest of our lives. And while I'm sure she couldn't articulate it at the time, I suspect Hazel Bryan made that phone call to Elizabeth Eckford because she wanted to stop being haunted. In June, I preached a sermon that was hard for some of you, and I knew it would be. It was hard to write, hard to preach. It talked about the unconscious racism found in well-meaning progressive communities like ours, the racism that isn't carefully taught, but is in fact deeply embedded in our way of doing things. Activists call that systemic racism a manifestation of white supremacy, a hot-button term that refers to the fact that most systems, even progressive ones, are unconsciously set up to benefit white people. It's not an evil plan that anyone is masterminding. It's just the way it is. Just as most systems historically have benefited men over women, straight people over gay people, rich people over poor people, so now we are talking about systems that benefit white people by default. But let me tell you something. As hard as this conversation has been in our movement, as hard as it's been to look at ourselves and consider what we could do better, it has moved us toward a place of reconciliation that I never thought we'd see. I thought the Black empowerment controversy was relegated to a closed chapter in our history books. But because we and hundreds of other UU congregations across the country chose to have that conversation this past June, because our congregations have had our people of color caucus together, we have finally begun to do the real work of reconciliation. So this past summer at our General Assembly in New Orleans, and I know some of us out here were there, Hayward Henry, former chair of the Black Unitarian Universalist Caucus, now known as Dr. Sanyika, returned 50 years after his exit to our community in recognition of the tough conversations we have been having. And here's an example of the kind of learning that can come from reconciliation. That story we've been telling for years, the one about the funding issue being why so many Black people left the church at the time, wasn't the whole story. Dr. Sanyika shared with us that there were also tensions around the Black understanding of humanism, which made room for theism and the use of God language in ways that 1960s white humanism did not. Besides the funding issue, it was that resistance of the larger movement of UUs to welcome the complexity of Black Unitarian Universalism and Black humanism with its particular relationship to the concept of God that prompted this exodus, as he calls it. And so in this speech, he talked of the effects of reconciliation.
There is a book that I now am able to write and to narrate this story because of what you have allowed me to do with you here today. I've tried it in the past, but I didn't have writer's frozen pen. I had spiritual frozen pen. My soul was not anchored in the Lord. It was disturbed. It was uneven. Today, I feel my soul is free to tell you this story from the depths of my heart and my mind.
That's the thing about reconciliation. Until we reconcile, at least in situations where there is a possibility of reconciling, it is hard to be free. And as for Elizabeth and Hazel, in 1997, at the request of a journalist, they stood together and took this picture. And after a lot of conversation, these two women became friends. They spent time at each other's houses. They went on trips together. They spoke at schools and on TV shows. But reconciliation isn't easy. Their friendship has had its ups and downs, and only they know where it stands at the moment. They represent an unusual form of reconciliation, for their break was not one among friends, but because Hazel denied Elizabeth's very humanity. Yet, in their relationship, as complex as it is, we see the array of possibilities open to us. After all, in seeing that original photograph back in 1957, who would have ever thought that those two people could be friends? And I suspect our reconciliation around race will continue to not be easy. It's going to be hard, especially in a country growing more and more divided. We can be impatient to see results, and each of us has a different list of priorities. But that's the thing about reconciliation. It's real work. It's the long haul. It's transformation. It's not easy, but it can be glorious. And that's true of our own lives too. Reconciliation is not easy. I stand before you now with some unresolved relationships in my own life. Perhaps someday there will be some form of reconciliation, or perhaps I will have to find my own peace and reconcile within and then move on. But in the meantime, I hold out hope that with time, that with the clarity that comes from reflection, with the willingness to admit wrongdoing, and with the intention of taking action to make amends, that there can be reconciliation. For reconciliation is really the work of being human. It requires us to be both vulnerable and strong. It requires us to take responsibility and to collaborate. May each of us, may each of you find the inner strength to begin the work of reconciliation that answers our call as Unitarian Universalists, our call for transformation of ourselves, of the people in our lives, of our communities, of our systems of government, and our cultural ways of being, of the larger world as a whole. We reconcile because we love. We love because it is the center of all. We look to create full circles in our lives, and with the closing of those circles comes the filling of our hearts. May it be so.